We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Now back to Bonte, Steiny, and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Alrighty, Matt Steinmetz in Oakland, Bonte Hill in San Francisco, and Daryl the Guru Johnson coming to you from Union City. Trying to get you through this crazy time. Looks like we're going to have to suck it up for a little longer, but there is a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, ideally, and it's called health. So I hope everybody's hanging in there. Hope everybody
Did you get that Wii
is
fix,
staying
Steiny?
Safe. No.
Oh, I thought about you.
I
love the young people.
Yesterday just crossed that one off.
I'm negative 19.
We threw the tape away yesterday.
I'm so out.
Appreciate the honesty. Oh, man.
You know what I'm saying? You know how you have that game and we're not even going to watch the tape? That's what yesterday was for me. I don't even have to watch the tape.
How about you, Bonte?
I ended up watching Cue Ball yesterday, the documentary produced and directed by Rich Kleiman and Kevin Durant on the San Quentin Warriors, the prison team in San Quentin. Yeah, it was pretty interesting, man. A good, you know, life behind bars and how they really gravitated towards basketball and how basketball got them through the tough times in jail, man. So watch that. Watch a little more Ozark. And did a little reading. Not what you guys think, but, you know, just another sports book. Speaking of the 10-part documentary, I picked up the Jordan Rules again and started rereading that a little bit last night. So had a good night. Again, taking it day by day.
What'd you do, Goo?
Sat on the couch. I didn't tell you Sunday. I went and got a PlayStation. Because my son acts like I'm the police now. So in my mind, I'm going to bond and be a better dad. And I'm in his room getting ready to grab the controller, and he's looking at me, and he's just uneasy, and it bothers me. And I thought to myself, when I was a sophomore in high school, I wasn't kicking it with my dad. Or, you know, he'd take me fishing every now and again, but in my mind, me and my son are going to be best friends again. And, you know, I got a vibe to where, you know what, you're being selfish. Forget it. So I went and got a PlayStation, Steiny, set it all up, had to go to like 10 stores. I get online to try to play people, and 10 minutes in, I'm bored. Like, let me just get the remote. It was just an activity for me to go find the game. But to answer your question, my friend, I sat up here and watched Luke Cage.
My wife made some...
It's a superhero movie about a black superhero, but it's not animated. So it's not – he doesn't have a costume or a cape. It's some great acting. I'm all in. So I'm on season 2, episode 1. But I recommend Luke Cage if you guys get a chance.
Okay.
But I just got fat. That's all I pretty much did.
So you didn't get your 7 miles in?
No 7 miles at all. I'm going to do it today, though.
Are you?
Man, I'm getting scared. Yeah, I'm gonna do it today.
Yeah. All right. Let's go to Rob. Rob's in Vegas. What's up, Rob? How you doing, man?
What's up? How you doing, man? I'm two y'all on.
All right, Rob, you gotta call back, buddy. Terrible connection.
Bye bye.
I'll put you at the top of the line right after Antonio. What's going on, Antonio? How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing pretty good. Yeah, you know, a lot of stuff is made about the 90s basketball. You know, they always say, you know, oh, they weren't friends back then like how they are now. that's false. You know, Michael Jordan was friends with Ewing. Michael Jordan played golf with Barkley during the week of the finals. You know, Magic Johnson and Larry Bird did commercials together in off season. Magic Johnson kissed Isaiah before every game. I guess nothing says I hate you more than give me a kiss on the cheek. And as far as, like, you know, the whole handshake and stuff, you know, they always be like, oh, they would have stopped the Warriors because of handshaking. If you watch a lot of film from those days, they're not handshaking every freaking possession. That's another myth. You know what I'm saying? It's all those myths trying to make those days better than today. You know, and, you know, as much as I despise LeBron, you know, he faced way better teams in the finals than Michael Jordan ever did. Let's just face facts here. Like, Michael Jordan had a cakewalk in the finals. He never beat a stacked team. He never beat a team that had three or more, you know, perennial All-Stars on it in the finals. He lost to the Bad Boy Pistons. He lost to the 80 Celtics. So, you know, that's all I got to say. So he better be 6-0 in the finals. He never faced a great team in the finals.
Oh, man.
Yeah, you know what? Antonio, I like it.
What about the Mavericks? Man. So the Mavericks had Dirk,
like,
and that's it.
I like it.
Oh, man.
I mean, I do believe I am with Antonio. I mean, here's the problem. Criticizing Michael Jordan really can come at a price. But I will say this. I am with Antonio. I didn't think much of most of the finals teams that the Bulls played against at all.
What about is that Michael's fault, though, fellas?
No, but it's got to be put in the equation.
I think that's all false. The Portland Trailblazers were stacked. Don't forget,
they had
been to the NBA Finals before, and they lost to the Western Conference to the L.A. Lakers. They lost to the Pistons at 5, and then they lost to the Bulls at 6. They were stacked with Drexler, Porter, Cliff Robinson, Kirby.
I don't call that stacked. I mean,
they were
loaded. Nice team. It's a nice team.
Oh, man, what about Phoenix?
What about them?
KJ,
Barkley,
Charles
KJ.
Barkley,
those,
Marley,
right. And when
Richard
we go back,
Dumas.
Richard Dumas?
Dumas was a baller until he had a drug problem.
Magic Johnson's Magic Johnson's Lakers beat a Celtics team or had to play a Celtics team with 5 Hall of Famers. I mean, that's the bottom line is that. I mean, Jordan
talked a lot about
didn't
the Utah
beat
teams.
The Celtics when the Celtics were in the mid-'80s. I mean,
he didn't have Pippen either.
Okay. Well, did he have Pippen
Charles
against
Oakley?
The Pistons?
What about the two Hall of Famers in
Young,
Utah, Scottie?
Right.
Malone and Stockton.
Right, and I'm saying the Celtics in the 80s had 5 Hall of Famers on their team.
I got you. Well, again,
so it's like,
right.
Don't talk to me about the competition. It's not – and Jordan – I'm just with Antonio. I'm not going to sit here and say Jordan didn't play anybody. But no, those teams that he beat that you're naming off, sorry, they're not really doing it for me. When you talk about great teams in NBA, when you talk about great teams in NBA history, no. I think of the Pistons.
Funny.
I think of the – so that team – and none of those teams that you just mentioned could sniff the Detroit Pistons in the late 80s.
Probably not. The Pistons were loaded. They were loaded.
Well, that's
Pistons,
what I'm saying.
Pistons,
but
that's what I'm
Michael's
saying.
Not picking who he plays, though, Steiny.
Right.
You know what I mean? And
I get
what Antonio's
it, but
saying.
You just answered my question. None of those teams could play with the Pistons.
But in and Mike, the Pistons, in the Pistons reign?
Yes, he did. But it took him a few years.
Yeah, no doubt.
Pippen had to grow up.
Horace Grant had to grow up.
Pistons,
and they had a coaching change.
After they beat the once they got to the finals, they were always the favorite. Their toughest series often was the Eastern Conference Finals, is what Antonio's saying. Mm. And I'm with him. I'm actually with him there.
Now, what about Magic's, the first one they got? They weren't favorites to beat the Lakers in. To me, I thought the Lakers were going to win the 91 Finals.
Lakers were old at that point. Is that the one where Magic threw the ball up in game one?
Yeah, and then Pippen D'd up Magic.
Yeah, Pippen kind of shut him down once the
kinda
series
shut him down.
LA.
I mean, the Lakers weren't stacked. They had D-Vock, but Magic, you know.
They still had Worthy.
Yeah, I just thought, you know what, this Lakers, it's the Lakers. They'll find a way. And Mike took off. But I'm not saying you guys are wrong when people say that. My thing is, it's not like Jordan picked the easiest route. It's out of his control. And the 80s, you're right, those teams were stacked. But we'll probably never see teams like that again, to where you got 5 deep, you know, 3 Hall of Famers, 4 Hall of Famers in the start lineup.
You
with
like
Bird
the Warriors?
Kareem. Wow, man. And, hey, I have nothing to say to that.
What about the Sonics team? You don't give them no love? The Sonics team with Gary
Two
Payton,
great players.
GP
and Kim.
Detlef Schrempf was no chump. Detlef Schrempf was no chump.
Nice player.
Hersey
a nice
Hawkins.
Player. I'm not taking anything away from those teams. But anyway, Jordan, look, anytime anybody has any criticism of Jordan, it's probably going to be, there's going to be blowback. I get it. I got it. But see, here's the thing. I mean, look at the Bulls teams. It's like they had three Hall of Famers, Rodman, Pippen, Jordan. Like that.
The first run who they have, Horace Grant. The first run they had two with Horace Grant. But here's the thing I'll say about that, Steiny. One thing that I always say this, Steiny, if people give me, because you're right, when it comes to criticizing Jordan, people get irate. It's like Warrior fans praising LeBron James. It's just a no-no because certain people can't handle that stuff. The Rockets teams in the mid-90s with Hakeem Olajuwon always felt they would have gave the Bulls their stiffest challenge. And if you look back at the regular season matchups, the Rockets held their own against those Bulls teams. The Bulls never had to play a center in those finals like in Hakeem Olajuwon. They had size and length with Robert Horry and Otis Thorpe. They had a good guard coming off the bench in Sam Cassell. Always believed the Rockets may have gave Jordan and Pippen an L in those finals, and unfortunately we never got to see it because Jordan retired, and then when he came back, they got bounced by the Orlando Magic in the second round. So I always thought the Rockets would have gave the Bulls those challenges, and if the Bulls would have beat the Rockets, then I don't think we're having that conversation about, oh, Jordan really didn't play a lot of competition in the NBA Finals because those Rockets teams were really, really good.
Now, that's funny. Vernon Maxwell, we know he was crazy. He was just on a podcast, and I do remember Michael Jordan saying the craziest player he's ever went up against was Vernon Maxwell. But on this podcast, Vernon Maxwell was talking about the Rockets record during the Bulls three-peat in the regular season, how Michael would tell during timeouts or, you know, inbounding the ball, Michael would tell Vernon, like, tone it down a notch. We know you want to win, almost like he was too crazy. And Vernon was saying he was the only guy that could get into Jordan's head, and it killed him that they lost to Phoenix to where they could go get that chance to play the Bulls on the big stage. But, fellas, when you see Vern Maxwell, I mean, he meant it with every fiber in his body. Like, he wanted that action. He wanted to face the Bulls because he felt the Rockets could have beat Michael Jordan and his team. And I sat back like, man, hearing you say that, Bonte, made me think of that. Vernon Maxwell. He wanted that smoke. Yeah.
Let's go to Rob.
He wanted that smoke.
Let's go to Rob. What's going on, Rob?
What's up, y'all?
Vegas.
What's up?
Yeah, hey, Rob. What's up, buddy? Yes, sir.
Hi. How y'all doing? Guru mentioned something about Steph going to Draymond. Going to talk to Draymond. I kind of really think it was just more of a dude you tripping, more like the way that they put it, because, you know, the run that they had was, like, flawless. And I think as a leader, Steph went over there, like, you know, Kobe and Shaq went through this, you know what I'm saying? You know, you tripping, bro. We got to run, and, you know, you just need to get your head in the game. I think he went over there, you know, as a leader. And
yeah, you might be right on that.
I think by KD leaving, I think he really just exposed Draymond, because if you look at Draymond's season this year, it's like, he's a good player, but without the bigs, like, he couldn't do nothing. Like, you know what I'm saying? I think KD kind of exposed him like that because, you know, we all know KD game is up on point. But I think he kind of exposed Draymond, was showing him, you know, you just riding coattail. You know what I'm saying? You only winning on a good team because we good. But and another thing, too, I think that, you know, Draymond knew that it was going to come down to either him or KD. You know what I'm saying? Because if they find KD, you already know they were going to get rid of Draymond because they couldn't keep them both. And you're going to keep your superstars on your team. So I think Draymond knew that, and that's why that whole season just fell apart. But I got one more thing with y'all, too. The other day y'all was talking about fair with the players, fair or not. What about this matchup, Kevin Durant and Kevin Garnett? Think that's fair?
That's a good one.
Different players.
Yeah, yeah,
different
one's on players. The block. And I would give the nod to Kevin Durant. That's just me now.
Yeah. That's kind of with you there.
That's a good one. Yeah, I think it's fair. I think they're different players for sure, but it's fair to say they're on the same level.
Mm.
I think I would take KD too, although. KG.
You know who I am.
KG was a terrific defender.
Great. But you would never say he was the best. Like yesterday's conversation, Stani, would you be mad at anybody that said Kevin Garnett is the best power forward that ever played? I'm not saying that, but if somebody said, you know what, I'll take him over Duncan, Malone, would either one of you be like, oh, you're crazy? Whoever had KG on that list, like, is he worthy?
I would
be
call you crazy.
The best power four.
I would call you crazy because I think Duncan is.
That's crazy.
I mean, in my book, Duncan's the best power forward ever. Now I know people say he was a center or whatnot, but center power forward Duncan is right there with the best power forward. Duncan's right there at the top. Karl Malone was really, really good. And unfortunately, we didn't get to see Kevin Garnett when he entered his prime. It gets a prime Kevin Malone. But we did get to see him in the prime. It gets a prime Tim Duncan. And Tim Duncan used to give him that work. So I would say you're crazy for saying KG's better than Tim Duncan.
And when I was on the couch, Steiny, and came up with this, I just tried to keep it to positions. Like when I did Mellow Paul Pierce. But that's the first comp we had, or fair or not, to where it's a different position. But I guess it still works at the end of the day.
If you're to put Kevin Garnett up against Tim Duncan, I think most people will take Duncan.
Right.
But if you compare Kevin Garnett to – who's the other guy you compared him to?
Karl Malone.
Karl Malone? I don't think that's crazy. I mean, I'm looking at Garnett. He was a defensive player of the year. So that means 1 year.
And an MVP.
I know, and an MVP.
KG.
I mean, so he's got, you know, all. And okay, so all defense first team, all NBA first team, all defense 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 first team. So 7 years, eight. So he was about a 10-time all defensive first teamer. So, I mean, think about that. That's why to me, no, it's not crazy to say Garnett, because you could make a case he's probably one of the best defensive power forwards of all time.
And had you put him on those Spurs teams, I still think they could get it done.
What do you mean?
Ooh. Like if you didn't have Tim Duncan and it was Garnett to be with Manu and Tony and Pop, you know, would I wouldn't say you would lose because you didn't have Kevin Garnett. Yeah. I guess that's a compliment to KG. He's a bad boy.
He is a bad boy. I'm surprised that Tim Duncan, fellas, never won a DPOY. We did think about the block shots he averaged, well over two a game. The rebounds, for most of his prime, he had about 12, 11 rebounds a game. The points, 23, 25, 20. I'm actually shocked that Tim Duncan never won. He's 15-time all-defensive team, but never won a DPOY. I'm a little surprised by that.
Yeah, I'm surprised that Tim Duncan's kind of overlooked as the greatest player of all time, to tell you the truth.
Wow. Huh.
I mean, how many times? I mean, I remember talking to B.J. Armstrong about this once, and he's like, if it's all about rings, and it's all about being and Michael's got six, well, then Tim Duncan's next. Tim Duncan's next.
Wow.
Well, I always get, I don't know, does Duncan have five or six? I can't even remember.
He has five. He has five.
And his Tim personality Duncan, didn't help him.
But think about it.
And that's BS. Yeah.
So in other words, we're acknowledging, or we think he might be the greatest power forward ever, if that's what he is. And he's got five rings. It's like, why isn't he like Jordan? Why isn't it Bird, Magic, Jordan, Duncan, LeBron?
Yeah, I'm just wondering. I'm with you there.
I'm just go ahead, now. Dude. You guys could argue with me, and like I said, with Kevin Garnett, if you were to put him in for Duncan, you know, he played in a good situation. He had help, or I think he had what people deem help. When you talk about Tony Parker being alongside of him, Ginobili, and then the tutelage of Popovich, Steiny, and David Robinson, you know. I just feel like maybe Tim loses points in some people's eyes because he was never just – it never was just Tim. He had –
Well, he had,
he had
Bird, good, Ma- But
he had some
Magic
guys
had,
with him.
Bird and Magic had better teammates than Duncan.
No doubt. No doubt. But that was the 80s.
And that's the thing, Steiny. He made Tim Duncan made Tony Parker and Manu Ginobili's job easier because Tim Duncan saw a constant double team. Teams were petrified to leave Tim Duncan one-on-one on the block because it was barbecue chicken. He made Tony Parker and Manu Ginobili's job so much easier that Manu and Tony would tell you, dude, without Tim Duncan, man, I don't know if I'm making the Hall of Fame. They were really good players, but think about how much Tim Duncan elevated them. That's the thing with great players. Sure, you got to have stars around you. You have to have talent around you. But how do you elevate those players? Tim Duncan's a three-time NBA Finals MVP, fellas. I mean,
oh, he's a bad boy.
All-star. He's
but
a bad boy. And Tim Duncan, and don't forget, Guru, real quick, David Robinson was at the end of the road when he won his first championship. Tim Duncan carried that Spurs team.
I'm wondering, Steiny, are we going to see Tony Parker get inducted into the basketball? We know it's easier. Hall of Fame. And on top of that, is Manu going to get inducted into the – if you're going to tell me Iguodala is getting in, then we can make that same argument that Manu's getting in. So when we say those are – I guess what I'm saying, fellas, Tony Parker and Manu are not marginal players or just role players. Them two may very well be inducted into the Basketball Hall of Fame.
They will be in the Hall of Fame. They will be in the Hall of Fame. There's no doubt about that. But as Steiny just said, Bird played with Matt Parrish and McHale, Dennis Johnson. I mean, those guys are awesome. Cornbread Maxwell, Magic, I don't know if he's in the Hall of Fame or not, but he was really good. And then Magic, his teammates, I mean, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, enough said. So, I mean, a lot of guys play with Hall of Famers. Steph Curry's played with Hall of Famers. LeBron's played with Hall of Famers. But Tim Duncan, it's how you elevate the game.
And no LeBron, no Bonte.
Center around you. I mean, Steiny, Tim Duncan, everything revolved around
he's
Tim Duncan
boy,
in that San Antonio
man.
System.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Ian Rappaport, I almost said Michael Rappaport.
He's been going off.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Ian Rappaport just tweeted that the NFL owners confirmed in a vote that expanded playoffs will happen this season.
Wow.
And one more thing. One of the two new playoff games will be aired on Nickelodeon. Nickelodeon with the broadcast geared toward a younger audience.
See, I don't like that.
I love the kids.
I don't like that at all.
BSG loves the kids, but what's going on?
We do love the kids, but damn it, the game should be on CBS, Fox, or NBC. Now you're
doing
too much, NFL. This is just greed. Greed at its finest, man.
Capital B.
NFL is just.
Capital S.
Come on.
Hey, hand me the remote. Let's watch the playoffs. What channel? TNT? Yes, no? Nickelodeon.
What? I'm not trying to watch Wild and Crazy Kids or Double Dare.
Somebody signed the check. I get it. It's all about the Benjamins. I get it. Ice Cube.
Oh, I'm out.
Steiny, what's going on here? Nickelodeon.
Let's go to John in San Jose.
Who the hell is John?
Hey, John, what's going on, man?
Hey, man. Can you guys hear me okay?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Hey, Maddie, I got a quick question for you, man. What year did Michael Jordan come into the NBA?
83
or 84? 84.
Do you guys remember how good the NBA All-Star team was?
Yeah.
I'm watching it right now.
Do you guys remember what the Olympic team with Michael Jordan did to that NBA All-Star team in the summer? Not once, not twice, not three times, but what, eight times? And you guys are still ripping that guy for not playing against any opposition?
Not five, not six, not seven.
What are you?
Yes, sir.
I'm not. What are you talking about?
Ripping?
What are you talking about?
Ripping
with
him.
Olympic team. That's the one I don't get.
The Olympic, because back then they couldn't be any pro teams. So only college teams could play on the Olympics.
When he was in college. I got you.
Yes, sir. The year he got drafted.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah, no. I'd forgotten that, actually. Was that in the 84 team? 84, 88, 92, 96, 2000. Yeah. So, listen, again, Michael Jordan, probably the greatest player of all time. All I'm saying is, when I look at the teams he played, he also had, to me, he also had the luxury of, you know, Bird had Magic. And you know, if Magic's not around, Bird would have had five or six. And if Bird's not around, Magic, you know, might have gotten another one. Jordan never had anybody. He just never had anybody. And one year they played the Sonics. One year they played the Lakers. One year they played the Suns. One year they played the Jazz. One year they played Portland, I think. It's like,
but those
I'm just saying, they always, five of his six finals were against the team that was there for the first time.
But you know what, Stoney? If you're using the Celtics and Lakers of the 80s, is the prism, you're right. There's no argument. But when you tell me what Bonte mentioned, Portland with Drexler, they were loaded.
No, you're
Barkley, a Hall of Famer with Phoenix and Johnson, they were loaded.
How many Hall of Famers did
Gary Payton?
Right, but two Hall of Famers is half as many as four.
Right, but it was a different era, Stoney. So
what I'm saying is, teams
weren't loaded with Hall of Famers like that anymore. We didn't see teams like the Lakers and Celtics in the 90s. And I feel like
the Warriors.
Well, that was different.
What about Miami with LeBron, Wade, and Bosh?
Well, that wasn't organic. When I look at Miami, that was, and I'm not knocking them. That wasn't organic, but I'm just talking about those Phoenix teams, Gary Payton, Portland.
That's
those
great.
Teams
you're naming their two best players. I'm saying the starting fives of these other teams. I mean, the Golden State Warriors. We're talking about the Warriors from 2 years ago as possibly having five or six Hall of Fame players on it. So it's like, all I'm saying is, yeah, I get it. The Suns were good back in the day, but nobody was saying, you know, Dan Marley's a Hall of Famer or shouldn't be. Yeah. Anyway, we can continue on the other side. This is a lot of fun just doing the hypothetical thing. 888-957-9570. And by the way, I'm not hating on Michael Jordan. Not hating on Michael Jordan at all.
Haters.
Just got it. You know, talk about
the I'm negative game. Nancy.
That's all. We'll be right back on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Bonte, Steiny, and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
What do we got here, Pappas?
It's this guy from Inglewood called D-Smoke. He just dropped a new album last month. It's pretty dope.
D-Smoke?
Yes, sir.
All right.
Letter
Make
D.
Make sure to check that
smoke.
Out at your record stores.
He's pretty talented.
Bay.
There are no record stores anymore, Stein.
I was going to say, Stein.
I hate when they say he dropped a new album. No, there's no vinyl anymore.
Yeah, there is.
Digital. He sent it to iTunes and Spotify.
There you go. Stein, it's digital.
Warehouse.
No warehouse,
hey, no Tower Records.
Yeah, the Rasputins, none of that.
Yes, there is.
Amoeba Records, I think, is still open.
10 minutes from my house in Concord.
Yeah, CDs or CDs?
I buy vinyls there myself. I can tell you there's still vinyls out there. But this guy,
hey, Steiny, I got a quick question.
So check him out.
My guy Henry owns an old record store in, it's called, used to be on Divisadero, Open Mind Music. But now he's in Oakland. My friend Henry Schwimmer owns a old record vinyl place on Rockridge, the Rockridge district of Oakland. Check it out.
There's a record store
on
right
Divisadero and Hayes.
Divisadero
and Hayes, Steiny?
Yeah, it was very small. Not small, but it was, yeah, exactly. Open Mind Music.
I know
been
exactly
in there,
what it was. Yeah, been there as a kid. I used to buy tapes there when these young kids don't know about Walkmans. We used to have Walkmans and cassette tapes where your tape would get.
And what about when your tape would mess up and the tape, all that stuff would come out and you'd be like, you're done.
It was the worst. It was the
worst.
My
boy,
hey, Steiny, I got a quick question.
My boy Henry owned that place. And he moved because the rent got too much, you know. But he's still around. What do you got?
I want to ask you this. Mike walked away from the game, and to me and a lot of other people, I felt like he would have 8 rings because he would have had the 2 Houston guy. But what I want to do is run Orlando by you and the Knicks, who the Rockets beat back-to-back. Do those two teams stack up on your metric? They were okay, but they weren't what you're talking about in regard, would you still have said Mike wouldn't have played anybody? Like, how do you view the Rockets' two championships against the Magic and the Knicks? Are they still kind of okay teams?
I mean, Orlando.
Penny and Shaq. Mm-hmm. Nick Anderson.
Dennis Scott.
D. Scott. Dennis Scott. Keep going.
Yeah. Yeah. See what I mean?
But you know what, Steiny?
Down to Dennis
Scott. You know what,
Steiny?
After the Bad Boy Pistons, you had the Lakers, Celtics, and Pistons. If you really look at it, up until the Bulls' second three-peat, were there any teams with three Hall of Famers in their playoff runs? It felt like the balance of power was evened out in the NBA. Like the Knicks, they had Patrick Ewing. The Pacers had Reggie Miller. The Hornets had Alonzo Mourning and Grandma Ma, and Grandma Ma got hurt. I mean, there really wasn't any teams that I think about it that had three Hall of Famers on one squad during that era.
Let's go out to Coach P. Coach P. What's going on, Coach P? How you doing, buddy?
Hey, how y'all doing? You guys kind of touched on already. By the way, just thank you guys for being on the air. It's just these last couple weeks, it feels good to just, you know, hear you guys' voice, have some kind of normalcy, if that's a word. But, yeah, I was just going to – you guys already mentioned the Pistons, the Knicks, I mean, even the late 90s Heat. I mean, I think the finals that Jordan's were in were not really that, I guess, that hard, you can say, but the road to get there – especially before he even got to the finals. I mean, the Pistons were really beating them down. I mean, I know we've seen the 30-30 in the highlights. The Pistons are kind of like my first memory of the game. But it took Jordan a while, like a real mountain to climb. And once he kind of got there, then, yeah, Stein, it was kind of a cakewalk. But I think the East really, you know.
Hey, Coach P, you know what it reminds me of a little bit? The Bulls actually remind me a little bit of the Warriors. To me, the toughest series they ever had was the one against OKC and two against the Rockets. And that's kind of what I mean. I mean, once the Warriors got to the finals, they were favored to win it. Mm. That's kind of what I'm saying about Jordan. Jordan played Ewing, and you know he finally got over the Pistons. And once they got to the finals, it's going to be tough to beat the Bulls because I just think that they're kind of like the Warriors in that they played their toughest series previously.
Thanks, Steiny, 100%. Love the show. Let's go Oakland.
All right, man. Let's go Oakland. And this is a good one too from the 510. The fact that Jordan played a different team every year shows how competitive the league was back then. If the same teams are appearing every year, that tells me the league isn't that competitive. Fair point. That's Vernon out of Richmond. And
never went
upset
to a seven game. Mike never went to seven games, Steiny.
That is
so
true.
So even though they were lesser.
In the finals?
He was taking care. Yeah, he was taking care. In the finals. He was taking seven, care of business.
Yeah, and I could argue that in favor of me too, saying see they never really were even challenged in the finals. They never got down in the finals. I don't think.
But that's great.
They didn't have home court in a couple of those series. They didn't have home court in a couple of those series. No home court advantage. They went to Phoenix and won all three road games. Utah. Yeah. They won Game Six in Utah when it was a 2-3-2 format.
Exactly.
I mean, that's you got to give credit to Jordan. They play a Blazers team that had been to the finals.
I am.
Riley from a 18-point credit deficit. I mean, in the fourth quarter of Game Six, man, we're forgetting how good those finals teams were. Man, those were some good teams Jordan was going against.
Yeah, that's all I'm saying. Not great, and not the Lakers or Celtics, because that is, I mean, good Lord, we may never see that again.
That's
and
an
the
anomaly.
Warriors, yeah,
that's an anomaly.
That's what I'm saying.
What is?
And Steiny, just working with you, you taught me this. Jerry West is his 1-7 in the NBA Finals? If we went to every seventh team that beat him, would you say, you know what, Goo, that's okay he lost to that team because they were stacked? Or would there be any way one could say, You know what? Jerry left some meat on the bone. Not him personally, but when you say 1-7 NBA Finals, I guess if we went to go look at those teams he lost to, would they meet this criteria that you talk about to where those seven, they were stacked in Hall of Famers everywhere, littered everywhere?
Well, it was the Celtics. It was the Celtics dynasty. That's what he could never get past, Jerry West. I don't know if anybody out there ever says that the teams that Jerry West was on were better than those Celtics teams. I've never heard anybody say that. But I didn't see those games either, you know. Hey, the NFL. NFL going from 12 playoff teams to 14.
Wow.
How you feeling about that? That's been confirmed.
I love it, and the NFL
is
king. And at the end of the day, Bonte, you're telling me week 16 or 17 now will have playoff implications. I don't think it's a big deal now to add two more teams, and you're telling me I get three wild card games. I'm all for it, man. I am all for it.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about it. First of all, the first thing that comes to my mind is that the NFL is greedy as hell. Because they know we're all going to be suckers, and we're all going to sit there on Saturday and Sunday and watch all three games.
Is that a bad thing,
B? And we're going to watch
the
one that's going to be aired on Nickelodeon. You know what? They had a perfect thing going on. You know, because soon they're going to have 17 weeks, and then you have three wild card games, and one team gets a bye. One team, man. Look at this. Every Super Bowl participant for the past 7 years has received a bye week. They've had a bye week. The last team to make it that far without a bye week was the 2012 Ravens, who beat the 49ers in the Super Bowl. It's going to be difficult for one of these wild card teams to advance to the Super Bowl, man. You talk about playoff football, and you got to play every single weekend. The NFL is just greedy as hell. That's all they're doing it for. The owners get more money in their pockets. They get fans like, you know, I'm not taking a shot, but my guy Joe Shasky, you get guys like Shasky to go to the team store another week to buy up all your gear. I mean, it's a joke. It's an absolute joke, and I hate it. It contradicts yourself when it comes to player safety. I don't like it. You don't need the best. You don't need to tinker with the perfect system. They had the perfect system in place, and now we're going to get three wild card games. Sure, we're all going to watch it, but guys are just going to beat themselves up, and they're going to be limping into the Super Bowl.
So I always like
it, Stoddy.
You know what? I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't care anymore. I don't care anymore. Everybody just wants as many playoffs. Like, and this is what I mean. So the NBA's got, what, 30 teams?
Yep.
So more than half the teams make the playoffs. Okay, baseball. What are we up to now in baseball? How many baseball playoff teams are there? 32. You know what? And now 14 of 32 football teams are going to make. You know what? Let me tell you something. When I was in high school and you played your regular season, they had an open tournament. All you had to do was say, we want to go to the postseason tournament, and you could have been 5-20. You just would have been the number, you just would have been the worst seed. So you would finish your high school season, and you'd play your league, and then you'd say, okay, do you want to play in the District 3 playoffs? And a lot of teams, and some teams didn't because they were terrible. But hell, why don't pro sports just do that? Go ahead, play the whole season. Just play the whole season.
Let's go. All right? Let's go.
And then just once the season's over, just say, all right, playoffs start now. Everybody's in the playoffs. I mean, it's a joke. It's just a joke.
Isn't there some prestige in making the playoffs?
Not anymore. Don't you get it?
Not anymore.
Not anymore.
Not anymore. Participation trophy era type of stuff right here. This is a joke. This is an absolute joke, man.
Pretty weak.
The NFL, man, they know we're suckers. We're going to sit there and watch, and they're going to give it to us. And now we're going to have 17-game schedules, 18-week schedule. It's too much, man. It's way too much.
Priest in Palo Alto. What's going on, Priest?
Well, thanks for taking my call. And I just wanted to talk about Jerry West.
Okay.
He was just criticized a lot from going 1-7 in the finals. What people really don't understand about when West and Elgin Baylor together. You're talking about two of the greatest players I've ever seen. And when they go to the finals, they went to the finals like 7 years in a row.
Mm-hmm.
When they got to the finals, they played the Celtics, who were and that was an all-star team. It wasn't a great team. It was an all-star team. Their second unit.
Be a damn all-star.
Huh?
No, go ahead, Priest. Now.
Their second.
Well, yeah.
Go ahead. Their second team was as good as some teams' starters. They were very good. They were so dominant until I used to get so frustrated with watching the Celtics.
What do you get frustrated with, Priest? What do you get frustrated with?
Watching the Celtics.
Oh, yeah, I heard. Yeah,
so dominant.
I've heard
so
that.
Dominant, man. You could not understand. I mean, people today the Super League today can't understand the talent that existed.
Hey, Priest. Were they like the Warriors in the last 5 years?
They were better. You got to understand.
Okay, now I'm
Priest,
the lineup.
Priest, thank you so much. Hey, Priest, we're also losing your connection, Priest.
Yeah.
Rate of play.
What is that? We got a new drop?
No, we've got it for a while.
We got a new drop every day.
The 510.
That's what we do.
The 510 says basketball has 16 playoff teams. Is that bad? Well, it's not bad or good. I just don't like when most teams make the playoffs, and the NBA's got 30 teams. So if you can't make the playoffs, you stink.
I mean, you know me, Steiny.
I still love the playoffs.
Conference tournament. So, you know, the NHL, half the teams make it, you know.
I know.
That is funny. I've never heard the whole, real quick, the open thing with high school. My team would be 4-22. Gents, let's go shock the world. So your boy would sign my team up.
Yeah, right. And you
who do we play? Vontae, who do we play and where?
Right. You'd probably open with the team like I played on. Right. And we'd beat you 78-51. And I'd take my 22-8 and go to the second round.
Oh, that is great stuff. Open. Yeah. Steiny, you've been active on Twitter lately too, but I like your little list yesterday. I kind of participated. I don't know if you saw him, Bonte, about his high school phenoms.
Oh, yeah. We started our little San Francisco thread. It was good.
I saw that.
High school knowledge was fun. You know?
That went to about one in the morning, right? Yeah, that went to about 1 in the morning.
Yeah, well, once Shasky, the butcher boy, gets involved, you start getting alerts because Shasky doesn't know when to stop tweeting, and he's tweeting this, and everybody's tweeting that. I said, I was done by 7 o'clock.
What a guy!
Started getting active.
I mean, I was just thinking last night, with no sports, I was starting to think what, you know, I was just starting to think about stuff I've seen, what I like about sports, what's my favorite part. And what I realized was, I think to me, there was nothing like watching a big high school basketball game when I was a kid, like 12 years old. And you'd go into some kind of gym with, you know, it'd hold 3,000, or maybe it was a big place that held 6 or 8. And, like, that's, like, to me, there's never been more electricity in a gym than when I've gone to some great high school games when I was growing up.
I'm starting to tingle.
And then the thing I was thinking about was, on top of it, there's something incredible about watching a guy in high school who's just dominant. And is just better than everybody else on the court. And the whole game revolves around the one guy. And so I just started thinking about great high school players that I saw play in high school, and one of them was Sam Bowie, and he was just dominant. I mean, he was just
incredible. He Shaq-like dominant?
No. He was skinny. He was skinny, and he had actually had a great face-up jumper. But he blocked every shot. He blocked every shot that would come his way. And so then we just started throwing names of great high school players around. And the one thing I've always noticed when I talk about the greatest high school players that people have ever seen, the one name that comes up by far more than any other name is Jason Kidd. Jason Kidd, I never saw Jason Kidd play in high school, but from everything I've heard, he was the most dominant high school player that many people have ever seen.
And Sonny, I was on the bench playing, trying to guard him. Chase, I played against J. Kidd in high school, and at that juncture,
I gotta see the stats for this.
In my mind, I wasn't at the point or mature enough to give Jason Kidd credit. We would lose. He was a freshman on varsity. His speed was second to none. Facial hair. He was a man. And my point is, his athleticism, it wasn't just about the game. It was his athleticism that my team, no other teams could deal with. The speed on the break. But then you knew, you know, after years went by, and I told him this one time, Stoney, as we got adults, I was like, you know what, I didn't respect you in high school because I thought my team was better and I kind of sour grapes, but I appreciated what Jason was. He was an icon, phenom, and nobody ever caught up to his speed, his DNA. He was a man amongst boys, and once I graduated, he had two more years of school, three more years. Excuse me. And I watched Jason Kidd enough, like he was on the Warriors, and the dude was special, man. I mean special.
I forgot where I watched him. Yeah, he was because they aired one of his games, one of his state tournament games on TV. So a lot of locals knew about Jason Kidd, you know, when he was a junior in high school. And you just saw him. You're just like, this guy is special. And then how the hell did he end up at Cal Berkeley? You know, we all thought this guy's going to Kansas. He's going to North Carolina.
Duke.
He's going to Arizona. He beat Duke as a freshman in a second round game.
LSU.
Beat Bobby Hurley at Grant Hill. I mean, J. Kidd was it. It's J. Kidd around here, Steiny. DJ Williams from De La Salle gets a ton of love. DJ Williams gets a ton of love from De La Salle.
I've seen him.
Because that was around my era. He was a senior when I was a senior in high school. And I remember seeing him at the Bruce Mahoney game, Sacred Heart versus SI. And we sent one of our buddies, Igor Spivak, to ask DJ Williams where he was going to school because he could have went anywhere. And he didn't tell him anything, but he looked like a grown-ass man. DJ Williams looked like a grown-ass man senior. It was like, man,
I'm
this guy 40. Is stacked. So those two guys right there, when it comes to Bay Area high school athletics, Jason Kidd, number one. DJ Williams, in my opinion, number two.
And real quick, Steiny, you say, I don't know why I'm always using that. Well, I guess we're up against it. So Sam Bowie, how dominant he was in high school, where he got picked in the draft. He was supposed to be the savior. Injuries, it didn't work out. But Jason Kidd, the phenom, from when I was a teenager to a Hall of Famer, I can honestly say, and you got it with your list from different people, it did disappoint. His career was basically what it was in high school in regard to how he ended, got NBA championship, and a Hall of Famer.
888-957-9570. You ever see greatness in high school or at a young age? It's fun to watch greatness in a high school game of any kind. You got a story to share? 888-957-9570. All brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full service banking, no compromises.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.